back on top of the Golden Boot race in Major League Soccer with his 19th goal, and that was better than all the rest.
So Messi finding the back of the net, making things 2-1. That was certainly the goal that turned the tide, at least in my opinion, in the game. As we mentioned, the LA Galaxy came out flying in that second half. They got the goal that they needed to tie things up. But Messi finally, in the 83rd minute, breaks through, scores a goal, makes things 2-1. Now, I mentioned he had a goal and an assist in the game. Let's take a listen to the decisive assist and goal to Luis Suarez.
Oh, back heel Messi into the area. Suarez, right-footed goal from just outside the right portion of the six-yard box. Lionel Messi with a gem of an assist. Just dazzling. And Suarez finishes 3-1 Inter Miami. That was a masterpiece. Put it on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
That's a voice in Inter Miami Herons, Ken Lavica, once again on all of the calls. We will be hearing from Ken coming up at around 8:09 Eastern time, as we will be having the coverage of Tigres and our Inter Miami Herons live at Chase Stadium tonight in the League's Cup quarterfinals. Now, let's go through a couple of statistics from the game. Once again, this is Messi Mania with our good friends at PNC Bank. A 3.49 XG for Inter Miami in the game. Now, to comparatively compare it to what the Galaxy had on the XG, 0.37. So Inter Miami with a 3 on the expected goals. They scored 3. The Galaxy with 0.37, only scoring 1. Inter Miami, folks, 29 total shots. 29! Total shots, 8 on target. The Galaxy only had 5 total shots, and they put 3 on target. 5 big chances for Inter Miami, 0 big chances for the Galaxy. The only statistic that Inter Miami lost on the night was possession. The LA Galaxy controlled the ball for 54% of the time. Inter Miami sitting at 46. But certainly a night to remember at Chase Stadium. Rodrigo De Paul and man of the match with a goal and assist, Lionel Messi, coming on at halftime, turning on the magic in the 84th minute and having that decisive victory on the MLS table. Once again, that was Messi Mania, presented by our good friends at PNC.
It's time for a little Messi Mania on Pink Smoke, presented by PNC Bank. The latest match results, highlights, and everything Messi starts now. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Learn more at PNC.com. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
Putting one behind the keeper takes more than talent. Sure, the pros make it look easy, but there's a whole lot of boring work behind it. Hours of drills, scrimmages, and dedication to the craft that ultimately pay off in a brilliant goal-scoring move. PNC Bank knows that it's the same with money. That's why they take a smart, steady, and, well, boring approach. So, you can make brilliant money moves that help you score your own goals. And PNC Bank makes it easy and convenient to manage your money when and where it works for you, including with new branch locations opening across Miami. See how keeping your money boring can be the brilliant move for you. Visit PNC.com/brilliantlyboring. PNC Bank, proud banking sponsor of Inter Miami CF radio broadcasts and Brilliantly Boring since 1865. The PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., all rights reserved, member FDIC.
Thanks again to our friends over at PNC Bank. If we look at the table for Inter Miami right now on the MLS side of things, they're sitting in the 5th place spot. The teams ahead them are Orlando City in 4th, Nashville in 3rd, Philadelphia in 2nd, and FC Cincinnati took the lead in the Eastern Conference over Philadelphia this past weekend. FC Cincinnati was able to beat the Portland Timbers 3-2 in Portland, while on the flip side, the New York Red Bulls handed the Philadelphia Union their first loss in 4 games, the Red Bulls winning 1-0 in New York. So ground made as far as first place for FC Cincinnati. They are sitting at the top. Now, here's the good news for Inter Miami fans. Inter Miami has played 24 games in the league. Orlando City, Nashville, Philadelphia, and Cincinnati have all played 27.
Inter Miami sitting at 45 points. Once Inter Miami catches up on the point total, I think they will be very close to the top three. Now, I can't sit here and promise you that they're going to win all of the games that they have in hand, but if the latter does happen, if they win all of those games, you're going to get 9 points, and that would put Inter Miami at 54 points. 45 and 9 is 54. So Inter Miami certainly in a great spot. You know, the term, they control their own destiny as far as winning the Eastern Conference side and getting a first round bye in the MLS Cup. 9 teams make the MLS Cup. And here's how I told you the top five. Once again, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Nashville, Orlando, Inter Miami. And then the rest, how this pans out, 6 to 9, Columbus at 6, Charlotte at 7. NYCFC, New York City FC in 8th, Chicago Fire in 9. The Red Bulls, even after the big win against the Union, they are still on the outside looking in when it comes to being in the MLS playoffs. So those are the 9 teams on the Eastern Conference side that are in the playoffs. Our Inter Miami Herons are in 5th. The first 4 teams get a bye, so and get home field. So you want, if you're an Inter Miami fan, you want to finish at least top 4. I don't think, in my personal opinion, winning the Supporter Shield is something Inter Miami truly is putting a lot of time and effort into. What I mean by that is they scored 73 points on the table last year. They shattered the MLS record for most points in a season. They finished in first place on the Supporter Shield. But this is American football. Americans love playoffs. They did not win the league because whoever wins the league is whoever wins the playoffs. It's just like football, you know, American football, excuse me. Now, this is really the only, I would say, big-time league that does this, like the Premier League, which we're going to talk about here in a second, which I love very much, big Manchester United fan. Whoever is in first place at the end of the season with the most points, they win the trophy. They win the Premier League. It's not like that here in the States. So that's why I don't think the number one thing for the squad this year is the Supporter Shield and to have the most points. They did that last year. Been there, done that. They had the Supporter Shield already in the trophy case. They want that MLS Cup. So I think as long as Inter Miami's floating around 1 through 4, they're completely content on that MLS table. But our Herons, big winners over the Galaxy. And we have Tigres coming up tonight. And Inter Miami trying to punch their ticket into the League's Cup semifinal round. Now, I did tell you I wanted to talk a little Premier League with you guys today. The English Premier League in full swing. We had a full slate of matches in match week 1. Liverpool winning on Friday 4-2. Mohamed Salah with a late goal to make things out of hand in the 90th. But Etiquette, the new signing, the new striker for Liverpool, finding the net in the first half. It was 2-0 early for Liverpool, but Bournemouth came swinging back with Antoine Semenyo. 2 straight goals in the second half made things 2-2, but Liverpool able to figure it out late. They get 2 late goals. I mentioned the Salah goal, really to seal the deal in 90-plus added time, and Federico Chiesa, the Italian striker, able to blast it behind net after catching a Ricky rebound and finding the back of the net. So Liverpool winning 4-2 on Friday. That was the first Premier League regular season game. Now, Saturday, I think the worst game of all was Aston Villa and Newcastle. Absolute sleeper. Unai Emery and the style of play that Aston Villa plays. They like to have the ball. They like to do a whole lot of nothing with it. That's kind of a shot at Emery. Let's give him some credit. Very good in cup games. Very good in European football. But Unai Emery is not very big on play style. One thing that is big in England, folks, play style is a lot of things. You got to be fun to watch. Now, me, I want to win football games. Whatever wins football games, I'm completely fine with. But a lot of English fans cannot stand the slow play style. You saw it before with Manchester United, my team, with Jose Mourinho. Mourinho, one of the greatest managers in the history of the game, but a lot of United fans had a problem with playing out of the back, not necessarily doing a whole lot of with the ball and getting a 1-0 lead and hanging on for dear life. So I think that's what Aston Villa kind of doing with. The Newcastle's a mess. They're trying to get rid of Alexander Isak. What I mean get rid of, Alexander Isak is, in my opinion, one of the best strikers in the Premier League. And who wants him? Liverpool, the team who won the Premier League last year. And they're trying to find a number to where it makes sense to sell Isak to Liverpool. That's the story. There are two stories in the Premier League today that have nothing to do with the games. Eberechi Eze was linked to Tottenham. It was basically a signed, sealed, delivered thing, but Arsenal came in late, and the rumors are is that Arsenal is apparently going to get Eze, a fine young player who plays for Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace won the FA Cup last year, and they won the Supporters Shield. So they have two trophies in a matter of 4.5 months, and they tied Chelsea in a surprise fixture, which we'll get to in a second. They tied Chelsea at the Bridge, at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea's home field. And they were able to attain a draw on a lot of people with Chelsea's new signings, Estevao and then Delap and then João Pedro. Everyone thought that Chelsea would be the team to win 2-0 basically at home. Palace surprised a lot of people, but it sounds like one of their best players, Eberechi Eze, is on his way out. And it sounds like Arsenal, after a money figure, my guess, and what David Ornstein is reporting today, a money figure could not be figured out with Tottenham. But Alexander Isak, Newcastle, a mess. One of the top players in the Premier League holding out because he wants a move to Liverpool. Brighton and Fulham drew 1-1. Fulham got a late goal in that game. Brighton really had the lead from the 55th and on. So it's 0-0 at halftime, but O'Reilly scored on a penalty. And then in the 90+6, so in the 96th minute, folks, there's 7 minutes of extra time. In the 96th minute, Munez for Fulham, Rodrigo Munez, a 24-year-old Brazilian, able to find the back of the net, and Fulham gets a draw on the road. That was a big result for Fulham. Fulham has Manchester United coming up this weekend at home, and we'll get to United in a second. But Fulham getting a point when a lot of people thought it was Brighton's game to win. Now, something else worth the note about that Brighton matchup, Baliba was a Rolls Royce in the midfield. Now, Baliba, a young player, 21-year-old Cameroonian, Carlos Baliba, is a holding midfielder, which means in football terms that Baliba doesn't necessarily join the attack much, but he's tackling in the midfield. He's winning duels. He's winning the ball and really not giving up a lot of opportunities in the midfield. Very important to have a defensive midfielder in the mix for your football team. And Carlos Baliba, who has been linked with Manchester United with a fee as high as £100 million. Brighton always seems to get a lot of players that, or rather get rid of a lot of players for high fees. You remember Moises Caicedo with Chelsea. He went over for £100 million. So Brighton kind of holding fast with one of their young players in the midfield. And he was a Rolls Royce that game. But Fulham able to nick that late goal. 1-1 that ended. Now, one of the bigger storylines of the weekend was Sunderland, the recently promoted team from the Championship, coming up and shocking West Ham. Now, Sunderland was the home team. We'll give them a little credit. But Sunderland won 3-0. Now, all three goals came in the second half. It was 0-0 at halftime. But West Ham and their fans are already hashtag Potter out. Graham Potter is their current gaffer and manager on the west side of London. Potter famously was the coach for Chelsea when they finished 9th in the Premier League. He didn't last that season. He got the sack mid-season during that year, but it looks like Graham Potter could be staring down the barrel of another sacking in the Premier League, losing 3-0, and West Ham fans not happy losing to a team that recently got promoted. And listen, folks, the last 3 years in the Premier League, all the new three teams that get brought up from the Championship have immediately went back down. And to take it even a step further, Luton, who was up here 2 years ago, they're in League One, which is a step below the Championship. So that's why West Ham fans very angry, losing 3-0 and getting embarrassed. Granted, it was on the road. I said you got to give Sunderland a little credit with the goals and the opportunities they were able to have. All those goals came from 70 on. All right? So Sunderland winning 3-0. Tottenham Hotspur looked brilliant at home versus Burnley. Burnley, by the way, the team that is famously owned by J.J. Watt, Hall of Fame edge rusher and sometimes pass catcher and touchdown catcher for the Houston Texans. He now loves football. He is the owner of Burnley. Burnley was recently promoted 2 years ago, went down, but came right back up this year. They did not have a lot of Tottenham was just a better team. Richarlison, the Brazilian striker, had a brace in the game. I call him Richarlie Goat, as well as my buddy John, who's a big Tottenham Hotspur fan. But the saying with Richarlison, it's a World Cup year. It's a World Cup year with Richarlison. And every year there's a World Cup, Richarlison always plays good. We're going to have World Cup games here coming up in South Florida. Looking forward to those. But Richarlison scoring, making it 2-0 with a brace. And then Brendan Johnson, the fine young player for Tottenham, made things 3-0. It was a big, big result for Tottenham, who has their new manager, Thomas Frank, after they made the sacking of Big Ange Postecoglou in the offseason. After Big Ange won Tottenham's first trophy, winning the Europa League over Manchester United, first trophy since the 80s, and they sacked the manager because they didn't like what he did in the Premier League. So big statement from Tottenham, and then Manchester City completely dismantling the Wolverhampton Wanderers, the Wolves, not scoring in the game, City winning 4-0. Erling Haaland, the in my opinion, the best striker in the Premier League. Some people might think it's Alexander Isak, fair play. Once again, Isak, Newcastle striker, linked to Liverpool for an insane amount of fee. We're still waiting on terms on that. But Erling Haaland, the best striker in Mike Rizzo's opinion, scored in the 34th, scored in the 61st, and made things 2-0. Reindeers, a recent acquisition for City last year. Tijani Reindeers with a goal in the 37th. Ryan Cherki, the young Frenchman, 22-year-old, that Pep Guardiola gaffer of Manchester City. He was able to secure Cherki as a transfer. He came on as a sub. He scored in the 81st. City dominating Wolves. Now, goals do change games. Wolves did have chances, but were unable to finish. Let's move on to Sunday's fixtures. I mentioned Crystal Palace. Aberyti Eze, the big news there. After winning two trophies with Crystal Palace in less than 4.5 months, he wants a move. And Crystal Palace, a London team, Eze wants a move to another London team. Apparently, it's Arsenal. Originally, we heard a report that Tottenham and their brass agreed on a figure with Crystal Palace and Eze, but Arsenal came in late and apparently made a better offer. We're still waiting on word, but it's looking like Aberyti Eze, one of the better midfielders, attacking midfielders. I compare him to a Telesco Segovia. One of the better attacking midfielders in the world might be on his way to Arsenal. Recently, Arsenal lost Kai Havertz. Kai Havertz plays kind of a number 10. And I think that Mikel Arteta, the gaffer for Arsenal, wants to get more depth at that position. So he looks like they're going to be adding Eze. We'll keep you guys updated if we hear anything on Pink Smoke tonight. But Crystal Palace drawing Chelsea 0-0. It's always, you know, Chelsea's one of the big six clubs. Always a big deal with Chelsea. A lot of people have Chelsea finishing in the top four this year. I personally think Chelsea will finish in the top four with all the great signings, in my opinion, that they made in the offseason with Estevao, with João Pedro, with Delap. I think these are all fine young players. The issue is right now their defense is the issue because Levi Colwill has a season-ending injury. He really anchors that defense as the center back. But Trevor Chalaba recently made a start for Chelsea. That, I think, just shows how thin they are at that position. But they draw 0-0 at home. Not the result that Chelsea was looking for after winning the FIFA Club World Cup down here in Miami. Famously celebrated with President Donald Trump on stage. But Chelsea drawing 0-0. Big, big disappointment. Now, Nottingham Forest beat Brentford 3-1. Big story from that game. Chris Wood with a brace. Chris Wood had 20 Premier League goals last year, was in the race for the Golden Boot for a little bit. So it was big to see him play well again this year, scoring two times. Nottingham winning 3-1. Now, the big story with Brentford is Yeonmin Wissa, who really... Him and Brian Mbeumo for Brentford last year, Mbeumo who plays for United now, had a big, big... it's certainly second half of the season, first half of the season, second half of the season for Brentford, one of the more dangerous attacks. Brentford not looking dangerous because Wissa is currently sitting out. He's pulling in Alexander Isak. Wissa wants a move to Newcastle. So it's a mess right now in the transfer window for those two teams in Newcastle and Brentford. Brentford has Wissa, their best player, sitting out because he wants a move. And Isak is sitting out, Newcastle's best player, because he wants a move. So those are direct correlating things. Once Isak gets moved to Liverpool, Wissa will probably go to Newcastle, but right now they're at a standstill, and it showed for Brentford, 3-1 the final score with Nottingham. Now, I could spend an hour talking about this, but we're not going to. Manchester United losing 1-0 to Arsenal. Arsenal played the worst game I've seen them play in 3 years. Arsenal is a team who has finished second in the Premier League 3 years straight. They were one of the better teams in the world. They went deep in Champions League play last year. Mikel Arteta, one of the best managers. They added Victor Gyökeres in the offseason, the striker that they were looking for. He had a stinker. We call it a stinker and a hook, folks. If you play bad, it's a stinker. And if you get pulled from the game, it's a hook. So Gyökeres had a stinker and a hook. He got pulled for Kai Havertz, who ended up injuring himself in the game, we found out a couple of days later. But Arsenal was able to win 1-0. A header from Calafiori really did it in. Now, Bayinder, the goalkeeper for Manchester United, had a horrible play on the ball. I personally think that it should have been a foul. William Saliba was boxing out Bayinder, holding his arm, but that's my United bias. A lot of people did think it was a goal, but regardless, United losing 1-0. United at 22 total shots, 8 on target, and were unable to score a goal. That was the story of United's season last year. They struggled to score goals in the Prem, and even adding Matias Cunha, Brian Mbeumo, and players who were top-tier, top-class players in the Prem, they did not score a goal at home. United lost at home to Arsenal 1-0. And then Leeds beating Everton 1-0. Leeds only scoring on a penalty, probably one of the more boring games as well. But folks, we're going to take a time out here on Pink Smoke. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Tigres and Inter Miami game coming up tonight. Inter Miami, our Herons hosting Tigres. So Inter Miami looking to get to the semifinals. We explained it earlier too when we did a little Messy Mania presented by our good friends at PNC. We explained that if Inter Miami wins tonight, they have secured at least 2 more games in League's Cup. So if Inter Miami wins tonight, they will be in the semifinal and have a chance to get some silverware. We'll go through the injury report presented by our great friends at Lido Rider Smith, Ivy, and Farnworth when we come back. Pink Smoke, ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome back, folks. Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter Miami, everything world football related. Our Herons taking on Tigres, quarterfinals of the League's Cup. Everyone asking, Riz, is Messi playing? Riz, is Messi playing? We don't know anything for sure yet. Lineups aren't out. Once again, it's an 8 o'clock start, which means it'll be an 8:09 start. Usually about 8 to 9 minutes it takes for games to kick off from said time. But we'll find out probably here within the next 30 minutes if Lionel Messi is playing. Usually lineups come out in world football. Lineups usually come out an hour before the ball gets rolling. So we will probably know if Messi is playing here coming up at about 7 o'clock. But my best guess is that Messi is going to play, and that leads us into the injury report presented by our great friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Now it's time for the Inter Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it, one right back by Inter Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
That is foryourrights.com, folks. Our great friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath have been serving injured people in South Florida for over 35 years. If you're hurt and you need some help, need someone to represent you, if you were done wrong, Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Now, good news for Inter Miami. I'm not seeing anyone on the injury report. As I mentioned, a little under an hour and a half until game time. And I'm not seeing anyone on the Inter Miami injury report. We all know Messi played last game. You know, Messi played in that second half. He came in and he was doing Messi things to the point where the MLS gave him the goal of the match day. It's a player of the game, man of the match. Guy played 45 minutes. I don't know. A lot of people ask me if Messi's playing. I think Messi's going bell to bell. I think he will play tonight. Once again, this isn't me reporting anything. I have not talked to Javier Mascherano. I have not talked to anybody who knows something with the team. This is me speculating. I think there's a reason he only played one half of football against the LA Galaxy. And he's had a couple of days off, too. Let's go through it. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. He's had 3 days off, full days off, you know, practice and training, but he's not had to play a game for 3 days, and he only played half of a game on Saturday. Did he look a little gingerly in the second half? Sure. It's Lionel Messi, the greatest player of all time. Tigres, arguably the greatest Mexican team of all time. Certainly, in my opinion, the most storied and rich in history Mexican team of all time. This is a game Messi wants to play in. Let's rewind to the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Okay? Messi played in like every single game. Now, he was dealing with a deep muscle tissue injury. It reminds me of that. Messi was banged up for a few of those CONCACAF Gold Cup games, but he played in every single one. These are big fixtures, man. Trophies are on the line. Messi's big into the legacy stuff, too. I think he wants to win the League's Cup again for the club. Club's won it before. I think he wants to win it. I think he wants to play well against the best teams in the Americas, if it's North America, Central America, wherever it may be. Tigres and Inter Miami are two of the best. I personally think Inter Miami's the best team on this side of the continent at their best. Are they a bit inconsistent in time? Sure. I take Inter Miami over any of these teams. I don't see how the Herons don't win tonight. I know a lot of people are worried about Tigres, and as they should be. They won 7-0 against Puebla, completely dispatching that side and sending them back to the Liga MX and out of the League's Cup. But I do believe that we have the better side tonight. I do believe Inter Miami has the better side tonight, and I do think this is a game where Lionel Messi looks at Javier Mascherano and says, I'm playing no matter what. Gaffer, you're putting me in. But no players to note on the Inter-Miami injury report. Drake Callender was hurt last week, but he's traded. Drake Callender got traded for about $600,000 to Charlotte. I think it was like $647. Almost said pounds. I'm too used to, you know, Europe and England. But no, $647,000, Drake Callender going to a, I think they're a rival. I'll call them a rival. Going to Eastern Conference rival Charlotte FC, where Wilfred Zaha currently playing right now. Charlotte having a good year. They are in the MLS playoffs right now. We went through the table on the Eastern Conference side earlier. We'll do it again when we go around the MLS later on in the show. But Tigres has three players listed on the injury report. Bernardo Pera. He's dealing, it says a knock, which in soccer standards, football standards, is an injury. He's doubtful, probably not going to play. Uriel Antuna dealing with a knee injury, and Jesus Angulo, he's dealing with a knee. So two guys dealing with knees, and Antuna and Angulo, and then Bernardo Pera with an undisclosed knock. All three of those guys are doubtful. So it looks like that Tigre is going to be down a few players. And as I said, man, Monfatma, there are no significant injuries to Inter Miami. Obviously, there's the story of Lionel Messi and if he's going to play after suffering that hamstring injury August 2nd against Necaxa. But once again, that was our injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. They've been serving injured people in South Florida for 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com. It's foryourrights.com. If you need representation, if you've been hurt, in a car, you know, fall somewhere, fall at work, God forbid something happens, all right? And you need help. Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. We're about an hour and 18 minutes away from getting the ball rolling there in Chase Stadium. 8 p.m. 8 p.m. is kickoff time. 8:09 if you're a sharp like myself and have been on every call for Leagues Cup and every game on the MLS side. About 9 minutes usually it takes for the ball to get rolling after said time. And Inter Miami, as healthy as they've been all year long outside of a Lionel Messi knock, I personally think Messi is going to play tonight because I think it's one of those games where you're going to want to put your best foot forward. It's a cup game. You got silverware on the line. I fully expect Messi to be in that starting 11 coming up tonight. Now, let's update you guys a little bit. Let's update everyone, rather, a little bit on who is still left in League's Cup. I mentioned this is the knockout stage, the quarterfinal stage. There are eight teams left. And Inter Miami actually kicking things off tonight with the first game. Let's keep in mind, a lot of these teams are on Central Time. Some are on Mountain Time. So a lot of these games, if Inter Miami's starting at 8, it's starting for 6 for a couple of people, starting at 7 for a couple of people. And as far as the West Coast, too, we have some West Coast teams in here, which you will find out in a second. But 8 o'clock is the first game tonight. Bit of a late start, Inter Miami and Tigres. At 8:50, Toluca and that team up north who plays at Central Florida that I'm not going to mention, Orlando City. 8:50 is the start time. So 50 minutes later, Toluca and Orlando will be doing battle. Now, on the other side of the bracket, it is the LA Galaxy, a team that Inter Miami dispatched 3-1 this past Saturday at Chase Stadium. The Galaxy will be taking on Pachuca. That's the nightcap at 11:45. And then at 11 o'clock, the Seattle Sounders and Puebla will get the ball rolling. So Sounders and Puebla will be playing coming up at 11. And I believe, I want to double check, was it Pachuca? One of those teams got dispatched by Tigres. Tigres, who Inter Miami's pointing out, yeah, Puebla. Tigres won 7-0 against Puebla. 7-0 against Puebla, which is why I think Inter Miami fans are kind of worried for the fixture coming up tonight. I still don't think Tigres has the quality to keep up with Inter Miami, especially in a cup game. Rodrigo De Paul, big time player, won a World Cup with Lionel Messi, knows how to play in a big game. Luis Suarez knows how to play in a big game. Obviously, Lionel Messi knows how to play in a big game. Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets, go down the line. These guys know how to play in big games. All right. So let's have some optimism with our Heron tonight. I'm sick of the doom and gloom. Inter Miami and Tigres coming up at 8. I fully expect Messi to be in the lineup and to be healthy. When we come back, we'll go around the MLS. We'll go over the League's Cup as well. We'll take a look at the English Premier League table too. This is Pink Smoke on ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Messi, middle channel, made a defender miss. Now he's in the penalty arc, and he scored with a left foot. That's an all-world hit from Lionel Messi. He got around a defender, got into space, and he delivers the fatal blow. Lionel Messi, welcome back from injury. 2-1, Inter Miami in the 83rd minute. There's the master. There's the emperor back on his throne. Lionel Messi back on top of the Golden Boot race in Major League Soccer with his 19th goal. And that was better than all the rest.
Let's hope we get more of that tonight. That was the last time Inter Miami was at Chase Stadium. They were winners over the LA Galaxy 3-1. Lionel Messi, man of the match, goal and assist. He only played one half. Him and Rodrigo De Paul came on at halftime, and Messi scoring a goal and assist and winning man of the match, and also got the match week goal of the week in the MLS. How about that? But folks, speaking of the MLS, it's time to go around the MLS with our good friends at Audi. Want more from your drive? This is it. The all-new Audi Q5 with a powerful sporty silhouette, dynamic handling, and responsive steering that makes every ride better than the last. An all-new interior with a digital stage with you in mind. Introducing the all-new Audi Q5, Audi's best made better. Test drive the all-new 2025 Audi Q5 at your local South Florida Audi dealer today or visit AudiUSA.com to learn more. That is AudiUSA.com to learn more. Well, I mentioned Inter Miami sitting at about fifth place. They are in fifth place in the Eastern Conference. Top four get home field. 9 teams make the playoffs on each side of the MLS in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. Inter Miami sitting at 5, and they have 3 games in hand. So the teams above them in Orlando, FC Cincinnati, Philadelphia and company, they have all played 27 games. Inter Miami has only played 24. Inter Miami sitting with 45 points, while FC Cincinnati, the number one team, has 52. Now, Inter Miami would have to win the games that they have in hand, but if they do, say the best case scenario, they do win all 3 of those games, they will be in first place in the Eastern Conference, and that would actually be enough to win the Supporters Shield as well. But as I explained early on in the show, I think Inter Miami is interested and winning the MLS Cup, being healthy and being a team that is playing high-level football heading into that. And I don't necessarily think the supporter shield is the number one thing on our Heron's mind. I think number one right now, League's Cup is what they're trying to put their best foot forward in. That's why I think Lionel Messi will play every minute tonight against Tigres. And then obviously the MLS Cup, which is in a couple of months. I think Inter Miami, knocking on wood, no matter what, I think Inter Miami is going to be in the playoffs. I do think that they want some home field, and home field would be top four. Once they make up those games, they certainly, in my opinion, are going to be a top four team. But Inter Miami sitting in fifth place in the MLS. It is League's Cup action tonight, though, so let's go around League's Cup as well. I mentioned the teams and faces you are going to be seeing in the knockout stage with League's Cup. Toluca and Orlando, that team up north that I can't stand mentioning, which I hope loses to Toluca so Inter Miami doesn't have to play them in the semifinal round regardless. Orlando, who is 2-0 against our Herons this year, they're taking on Toluca. That's an 8:50 start. Inter-Miami will get the ball rolling first out of all teams playing tonight at 8 o'clock, but Toluca and Orlando City at 8:50. At 11 o'clock, Seattle and Puebla will be kicking off, and then at 11:45, the Galaxy and Pachuca. So Galaxy and Pachuca, 11:45 final game. Eight teams left. Once again, Inter-Miami and Tigres, Toluca and Orlando City, Seattle Sounders and Puebla, LA Galaxy and Pachuca. Those are the eight teams left in League's Cup. We are about an hour and 6 minutes away from kickoff. We will be back with more Inter Miami coverage coming up at 7:30. It is an 8 o'clock start. So I'm going to be taking a 20-minute timeout, but at 7:30, I will be coming on live with the pregame show. We'll go over the highlights again from the Galaxy. We'll catch you up on League's Cup action as well. I got all the goal-scoring plays from the League's Cup games that have happened. Inter Miami played three games to make it to the quarterfinal stage in League's Cup. We'll listen to all the big highlights. We'll get you updated. And we'll keep an eye on the starting lineup. I'm hoping by 7:30 we will know if Messi is going to be in the lineup. But if you're just joining us, again, in my personal opinion, I think Lionel Messi is going to be playing tonight. I think it's one of those staple games that Messi wants to go bell to bell in. I think there's a reason he didn't play for 2.5 weeks. Last Saturday marked about 2.5 weeks since Messi played. That Necaxa game, August 2nd, is where he went down. And he came back last Saturday and only played in the second half and helped Inter Miami achieve victory against said LA Galaxy, who is still, by the way, one of the final eight teams left in League's Cup. Now, I think Inter Miami could do a lot of interesting things with the lineup. We've seen Javier Mascherano go with a 4-2-3-1 recently, four defenders, two holding defenders, two midfielders, one of them holding in Sergio Busquets, Kramaski playing box to box, and then three midfielders. The three midfielders last game, Segovia was centralized playing CAM, central attacking midfielder. You had Fafa Pico off the wing, and you had Tadio Allende off of the wing. Pico playing left, Allende playing right, and you had Suarez up top. Messi slid in to the Tadio Allende role. So I think, in my opinion, Fafa on the bench, Messi off of the right, Suarez up top, or Mascherano could go with a 4-4-2, four defenders, four midfielders, and Messi and Suarez up top. He has done that at times. Folks, you hear that music, that means it's time for us to go. Mention to you that we are going to be live with the pregame coming up at 7:30. So I'm going to get our highlights squared away. I'm going to get our latest news ready to roll as far as the starting lineup, and I'll talk to you guys here in about 35-ish minutes. Talk to you soon. Bye.